This podcast may contain explicit language and spoilers, you ken?
Welcome to episode, what number are we on?
Four.
Episode four of Grounded
episode
Geeks.
Episode four of Grounded Geeks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode four of Grounded Geeks.
This is where we make the geek world relevant. My name's Iman.
My name is Lena.
And this week, we're going to be talking about X-Men Apocalypse.
Woo! So, yeah, spoilers.
Yes. Spoilers. So many. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of spoilers or not. I mean, I kind of don't want to talk about the movie that much.
We should talk about it a little bit. I have feelings about it. I have feelings on it, which we've discussed.
I've got a lot of feelings about X-Men, just not X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah. It was, like we were saying right after the movie, it was a perfectly fine superhero movie.
Yes. Perfectly fine.
Except, like...
It needed to be more than fine.
It just needed to be more. There was nothing. It was like... What were you saying that when, right after we saw the movie, you said something like... The script was basically, okay, this happened, and then this happened,
and then that happened,
the end.
It's like a Dan Brown novel.
Yeah.
All right? I don't know if you know what I mean by that.
I know what you mean by that.
Yeah, so like in The Da Vinci Code, the guy writes literally like, I mean, don't get me wrong, great story, very captivating, wonderful puzzles, but it was very much of, and then the guy went here, and then he saw this picture, and then this happened, and then he met this girl. It was, so, I mean, it was just really, it was boring storytelling, but, I mean, it was like watching, it was like a script that was written in bullet points, rather than in storytelling narrative.
Yeah, Days of Future Past was a much better plot.
Yes.
And, okay, here's my biggest complaint about X-Men Apocalypse. They spent, what, like the past year advertising... Oh, so-and-so has joined, and she's playing Storm, and Lana Kandor is playing the Asian-American superhero, Jubilee, and we're going to have Oscar Isaac, and blah, blah, blah. And then they did nothing with their heroes slash villain of color. Like, nothing. It was such a disservice to every person of color.
I didn't even know that Jubilee was in the movie until you told me.
Yeah, yeah. That's how insignificant she ended up being. It was so sad. We literally just saw her in her like super bright yellow jacket and her 80s hair, and that's it.
Yeah. I did not. I mean, I enjoyed the movie perfectly fine, and then when I left, I was just angry.
Yeah.
It needed to be so much more.
So much more.
You know, I mean, come on.
Like, and, okay, I've mentioned...
The game has been upped, people.
Yeah. And I've mentioned this before, that, like, you know... I enjoyed Civil War, the Civil War movie, a lot because it wasn't about a bad guy trying to destroy the world. Like, that is so done and over with, and just that's it.
Yes.
And I don't know. I feel like the villain Apocalypse should... I thought someone like him would have, like, maybe a couple movies where he's trying to... Whatever. They would, like, spend a couple movies on him, right? He wouldn't be defeated so easily.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's it? Like, he destroyed a bunch of buildings and that's it.
I mean, if you think about it, like, if you're going to do a movie where the bad guy is Apocalypse, also, people, spoilers, it wasn't very apocalyptic.
Nope. Nothing apocalyptic about it.
I mean, there was technically something apocalyptic about it, but, I mean, it just, like, that was, no.
They basically destroyed... Cairo, Egypt.
No, and then they showed a few shots of San Francisco.
Yeah, they showed like some ships in the harbor, like destroyed a bit, but like main damage was to Cairo.
I just wasn't that emotionally invested.
Yeah, I wasn't either. It was really sad.
I didn't get the feeling that like, oh no, the world is on the brink.
Yeah.
But anyways, like I was thinking about it and I was like, all right, so you got a bad guy named Apocalypse. Right, like afterwards. So what are you going to do about it? You have to have a story where it's like, the good guys fight the bad guy, and then they win. But, you know, I was thinking about it, and especially the way they portrayed Apocalypse. It's kind of like, it kind of reminded me of Lash from...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, from the Inhumans.
Yeah.
Not so much the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but...
Oh, okay. That is my only exposure to Lash is
so,
that show.
So in the comics anyways, Lash is, he's an Inhuman where he does kill other Inhumans, but his whole motivation is that he thinks that only the strong should live.
Oh.
So only the, you know, the strong Inhumans survive. Yeah, so he kills weak Inhumans or whatever it is that he considers to be weak. So, I mean, you know, they were kind of doing that with Apocalypse, you know, where he's like, oh, my child, you're going to destroy the world. And then with the people who are strong that are left, we're going to make a brand new pretty world. Like, you know, they could have, they could have done more with that. They could have tied in the ever, you know, the forever long ideological battle between Magneto and Professor X. And you know, they could have woven that into this a lot more deeply than they did.
And just,
well, when I say more deeply, I mean at all.
And just wanting and not wanting, and just the fact that the whole X-Men is supposed to be this metaphor, right, for people who have always felt like outsiders and they're different and they don't belong and all this stuff, you know, whether that has to do with your race or your sexual orientation, whatever, all of it, you know, that's what it's always been supposed to be a metaphor for. And they kind of, they kind of touched on that when, you know, like all the young little X-Men, whenever they saw Raven and Mystique, whatever, Raven slash Mystique, they would be like, you're my idol when you like came out that way on TV, you know, that really gave me courage. And that was like a cool thing. I really liked that whole, if they had just kind of made that the story, you know,
Or at least done anything more.
Yeah. Or just really stuck with the essence of X-Men, you know, which is supposed to be like anyone who has ever felt like an outsider could relate to the X-Men.
I mean, there's an excellent, not excellent, it's good. It's a decent article on Vox. Somebody wrote a feature on Vox, and we'll put it on the show notes, audience members, where this guy was talking about why X-Men is so important to him, why it was so important to him growing up. And it really is because, and I think anybody who was into X-Men as a kid, as I was, definitely, it was about a group of people that are different and trying to make their way in the world. It's not about superpowers, although that was cool.
Yes.
It was, in essence, the thing that made us, that made people connect, is that mutants are different and they are hated by humanity and they are feared by humanity, that that, you know, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hatred.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I couldn't help it.
Yoda reference.
Star Wars.
You know, my life would be so much cooler if I had superpowers.
I know.
A lot easier.
I know. But then, you know, I sort of start thinking about superpowers like Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Right. Or Flash.
Uh-huh.
Like, you would need a lot more powers than just being able to move really fast. Like, you would need super, super tough inner thigh skin.
Which I'm sure you would have. That would be part of the package of being fast.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You can't just be fast. There needs to be a package of powers.
Yeah.
There needs to be a package of powers.
Okay, logistics of superpowers. We'll get to that later. Anyway, what were we saying?
Oh, yeah, X-Men. Super different people.
Yes.
A long time ago, I was reading an interview by one of the writers for X-Men. This was way back in the early 2000s, I think, when the original movies came out. X-Men, for those of you who don't know, was the most, probably the most successful comic book at the time, especially for Marvel.
I think it's, is it still considered to be the most successful, or? I would say it's in the top five,
it probably is the most successful comic overall. It's certainly not the most popular right now.
That would be Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, actually. But she's continuously number one on the bestseller list. Yes. So whatever. We'll get to that later.
But, so anyways, I was reading this interview by one of the writers, and I, for the life of me, cannot remember who. But I'll try to find out and put it on the show notes.
What were they saying?
But what they said was that the reason X-Men is popular in all of the various offshoots of X-Men, X-Men, X-Factor, X-Force.
X-Men Evolution.
That's a cartoon.
That's a cartoon. I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah. Continue.
Yeah, you know, shut it.
I don't know what X-Force is. We'll need to talk about that later. Or you can tell me now.
Later. I'll tell you when you're older.
Wow. Jerk. Okay.
So what he was saying is that the main reason that people, that X-Men is so popular is not because it's a movie, it's a comic book about superheroes. It's because it's a soap opera. Every single issue, every single story is about the people as people. The superpowers are ancillary to the story. The main thing is about personal growth and about drama. And
the relationships and friendships and all that.
Oh my God, I can't believe Rogue is both into Gambit and Wolverine.
Really? Like,
yeah, that was definitely a thing.
In Wolverine, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was, well, you know the Wolverine Rogue thing? I mean, that was in the movies.
What? No, it was more like a big brother relationship in the movies.
Good.
That's how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
Stop. Go ahead, you ruined everything. Fine.
So, I mean, it was a soap opera. And X-Men Apocalypse was anything but. In that way, X-Men First Class and Days of Future Past were also very much soap opera-ish. I mean, they had a story.
Yeah, you know,
It was about X-Men. It was about Charles Xavier and Magneto.
Yeah, and their differing ideologies, like you mentioned.
But also coming together, being friends.
Yeah.
Facing the world together.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Brotherly love.
Uh-huh.
And a woman scorned. And
yeah, all that. Whatever.
All that jazz. All the stuff that makes a soap opera a soap opera.
Yeah.
But Apocalypse was not that.
Yeah, no. It wasn't. It was very, which I found sad that in Days of Future Past, they were able to manage that so much better, even though there are all these different timelines and you have future and past Charles and Magneto and blah, 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 all this stuff. Like, Wolverine had to go back in time and you still managed to do a better story than with Apocalypse, which shouldn't have been that hard. Like,
it shouldn't have been.
I mean, really think, though, it is just, I mean, the biggest reason why it sucks so much is that they did not utilize all their talent and all that they had. And the various characters. Psylocke. Who the fuck is Psylocke? I still don't know. She's just Olivia Munn, you know? Like, that's literally who wears purple spandex. Like, I don't. It's so painful.
Like, that's the thing. The movie wasn't a story about anyone.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
just,
I mean, in Days of Future Past, the story was about Wolverine trying to fix a relationship, the relationship between Charles Xavier and Magneto. Or rather, not trying to fix it, but trying to, you know, he's inserting himself. But it's about Wolverine.
Yeah.
It's about Logan. In X-Men First Class, it's about Charles and Magneto.
Yep.
You know, like, at least it's about something. And regardless of what people say about Civil War, like, at the end of the day, it's still about Captain America. Like, it's still about somebody. You know, you're as an audience member, you're experiencing the story through somebody's perspective.
Yeah. And even though Civil War had, like, 12 different characters in it, they still managed to make it mostly about Cap.
Yeah. And, I mean, with the 12 different characters, you saw the other characters and their perspectives and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the story was very much, but all those perspectives were sort of orbiting around the sphere of Cap and Bucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, at least you had that anchor.
Yeah.
X-Men Apocalypse just had no anchor.
Yep.
No anchor. And for those of us who grew up with X-Men,
mm-hmm.
it was just so sad.
Yeah.
I was so sad.
I like how we started off this podcast saying we wouldn't talk about X-Men Apocalypse, and we spent almost 15 minutes talking about it now.
I blame you.
I know, but we need to get it out of mind. But you know, we needed to get it out. This is like therapy.
But this is what I was afraid of.
Okay, whatever.
Is that the wellsprings would open,
Okay, they're open or shutting it down. Shut it down.
All right.
Okay, question. So you were reading X-Men, the comics and stuff when you were a kid, right?
Yeah.
This is when we were abroad, and mm-hmm. I never read the X-Men comics. My first introduction to them was probably when not even the first movie, but the second movie. I didn't even know about the first movie, but I remember it coming out in theaters, and then you dragged me to go see it with you. And when did it come out? Was it like 2002? Something like that. Whatever.
Maybe it was 2003.
So I was like 12, 13, 14, whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
And so that was when I was like, whoa, this is awesome. And then I started watching the X-Men Evolution cartoon.
Which, that cartoon was amazing.
Amazing. So,
Emmy Award my question, for a reason.
Question for mm-hmm. you.
Yes.
So sorry, when you were reading, question. When you were reading the comics as a kid, what uh-huh. drew you to them? This is what, when we were in Pakistan, Ukraine, where?
Yeah, both.
We lived in Pakistan and Ukraine, guys.
Yeah, so we're weird. Just that cool.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we're not. But, so I think the big reason is that one of my friends was really into comics back here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And there was X-Men, and X-Men was so popular, it was easy to reach. It was mm-hmm. easy to get those comics. I mean, eventually I stopped reading comics because it was so hard for me to get one issue after the next because, you know, we were living overseas, so I couldn't ever follow.
The last, we had no technology for you to download digital copies.
Yes, there was no such thing as digital comic books back then.
No. What a time we lived in.
I feel so old.
It's because we are. Okay, go on.
Back in my day.
Okay, stop.
Okay.
That was impressive, though.
It comes naturally to me.
That's not something you should boast about. Just a fact.
You should accept me for who I am, little sister.
I have. Why? What? Continue.
Only because you don't have a choice.
Oh my god, Amon, just finish what you were saying.
So, I mean, the thing about X-Men is that it was about a bunch of misfits and
mm-hmm.
outsiders. And the thing is also, like, as I'm reading them, I wanted to know more about them as people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I ever actually realized this before, I just said it right now. But the reason I'd want to read stories about Cyclops and Jean and Logan and Professor X and Storm is because it wasn't because of the powers. I wanted to know more about who they are. I wanted to know more about them. Yeah. I even got, like, a novel. X-Men, like...
Oh, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it's like a book, but it's not a comic book. It was
Who wrote it? Was it one of the comic book writers who wrote it? Or was it just like...
I don't remember.
Is it like a fanfic?
No, it's not a fanfic. Okay. It's like official stuff, but it's like short stories.
Oh.
You know, and crazy stuff.
I think I remember seeing that, yeah.
Like...
We should find that.
One of them was a what-if thing where Rogue is going through this fantasy, basically, but actually living it, where she has a normal life and she remembers, and all of a sudden she's got a kid and has a normal, like, white picket fence life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of the culmination of everything that she has wanted because, you know, because of her particular manifestation of her powers, she can't have that. For those of you who don't know, anytime she touches somebody, they pass out, go to comatose, and possibly...
Are you talking about Rogue?
Yeah, Rogue.
I thought you said Storm in the beginning.
Oh.
I got very confused.
Yeah, we'll take you to the doctor, get your ears checked.
I'm pretty sure you said Storm, Amon.
I'm pretty sure I said Rogue.
We will rewind.
All right.
Continue.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that.
So when I remember, so the first movie I saw was the second X2 movie.
Yes.
Okay. With... You know, Anna Paquin and Sean Ashmore playing Bobby Drake or whoever. Iceman.
Also in the first movie.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that, so we've talked about this before, but that scene mm-hmm. Where they're at Bobby's parents' house and then they see him and then his mom is like, have you ever tried not being a mutant? So, first of all, that was hilarious and it was so brilliant the way they like wrote that into the script and the story. And it was so perfect, right? Because everyone... But okay, here's the thing. When I saw that, I immediately was, that was kind of like how, like, I compare that immediately to the LGBT community, oh, yeah. You know,
absolutely.
Because as like, as a Muslim, I've never had anyone say to me, have you ever tried not being a Muslim? You know, like they're, yes. It's more like a form of just like fear. And then they just run away or walk away And they don't, you know, like for the people who really don't know anything about Muslims besides Whatever Trump says and ISIS and shit, you know, but yeah, like I've never actually felt that. But when I started all this new stuff that they're doing with Inhumans, when I started watching the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the way they talk about Inhumans, the way they're feared, and one of them, a non-Inhuman person says to an Inhuman on one of the episodes, like, any one of you could, like, kill me right now. You have the power to do that. And what? And that's exactly the language that I feel that a lot of people talk about Muslims.
Yes.
And that's, you know, like, we're some sort of weapon just waiting to just,
like, who knows?
Or whatever.
Any one of them could just spontaneously combust.
Exactly.
Like, no, I'm perfectly fine. Sometimes I need to take Pepto.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to explode.
Yeah, so that's where I see the Inhumans, the language, how Inhumans are talked about. I definitely relate to that more, and I think of experiences that I've had in my life more, whereas with mutants, I always thought they were very cool, but I saw a bigger comparison to, I mean, like, racial stuff, obviously, you know, but also anyone in the LGBT community.
Yeah, but you know, all the stuff that you're talking about with Inhumans, that's, all of that type of narrative was first explored with X-Men.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have things like the Mutant Registration Act, a government program to hunt down mutants because, hey, they could be dangerous. Any one of them could, you know, get you.
But that's also what I mean. Like, I think it also had to do with the point in my, where I was at the point in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, when all that was going on with those first X-Men movies, I was a bit young to really draw parallels, which is stupid because it was kind of around the same time that the fucking Patriot Act was going on and all that. So,
fun times.
Super fun.
Yeah, I mean, X-Men had, one of the things they dealt with was a new government agency called the MRD, the Mutant Response Division, whose entire job was to track down mutants and make sure that dangerous mutants were captured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot like Homeland Security.
Oh my God.
What? What? But, I mean, the thing is that all the stuff that you're enjoying about Inhumans, that's exactly why people in the 90s, especially, really got into and invested in the X-Men.
Yeah.
Is because of those exact same things, exact same parallels to the real world.
Another reason why the freaking X-Men Apocalypse movie sucked is that, so I knew that about X-Men, but I was really looking forward to seeing how they would kind of do that and visualize it for audiences in this movie, and they totally failed at it. Not even failed, they just didn't do it. They were like, fuck that. No, sure, here, look at all our posters. We've got an Asian girl and a black girl and like a half Asian woman and whatever, you know, and a Hispanic guy who you don't actually get to see because he's got all these blue prosthetics on, but whatever. You know, like, they had all these people on their posters. They were literally... Beast? No, man.
Who's the Hispanic guy?
Oscar Isaac. Please tell me you know he's Hispanic, right? Oscar Isaac is the guy who played Apocalypse, man.
Oh, him.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
You caught up? You okay?
Yeah, I'm
you good?
I'm caught up.
Great.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So, they literally were advertising them how they do all the diverse kids on the college brochures.
Yeah.
I know because I've been on them.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also in my high school as well, because I went to high school in the Midwest.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But that's just the Midwest. At least they were trying.
Oh, God. Whatever. Anyway, but that's, I hated that. I hated that that's how they, that's how they treated it, you know? And now I'm like, great. I don't even care now about casting announcements when they say so-and-so's been cast and or whoever, whatever.
Because it doesn't
because
mean
now it's like,
shit.
Yeah, now it doesn't mean shit.
Until the movie comes out, it don't mean shit.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, yeah, you were talking about how I think we mentioned this in a previous episode, how the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming is going to actually look like Queens,
yeah,
New York, and you were really stoked about that.
And now,
and now you're not now because of X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's different studios doing it
yeah.
and stuff, but I'm still worried. I'm still worried that they're just going to, they're going to have like a cutesy fun scene where Peter Parker is walking through the halls of his high school with his like minority friends. And then that'll be it. I'm really yeah. afraid of that happening.
Yeah. I mean, yes. And you know, at the same time, the other thing that that worries me though, mm-hmm. is tokenizing.
Yes. Which is what Apocalypse basically did.
Yeah. But no, no. But I mean, in terms of like, you give the minority character a major role, but then you have them be the various stereotype.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Like in Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the one called Indian Girl.
God.
I mean, it was pretty funny, but they just kept going.
It was the same
on
bloody
on.
Joke over and over. Like, we get it. Yes. Deportations. Hilarious.
Yes.
Not,
Third
like,
world country. Diarrhea.
Yeah, great. It was yeah. so stupid. And just yeah. her accent and all
so,
that. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing, though. What I want to see is more of what Marvel is doing,
yeah.
where you've got Falcon and War Machine, you know, Don Cheadle and Anthony Mackie playing two major characters in a number of Marvel movies, but
they're not the same person.
Like, they're very much, it is very much that they are Black. Like, that yeah. is not lost on anyone. They touch upon it enough that, mm-hmm. you know, in a very real way. But at the same time, like, who cares? Like, it was a non-point.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They were just normal people. Normal fucking people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, Black people, they're also normal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What?
And now what I would love is for them to just expand it to other, like, Asians.
Yes.
South now, Asians, East Asians.
Now
all
it's...
All kinds of Middle Eastern people.
Like, yeah. Now that's, I mean, it's a good first step, and we're slowly getting there.
Slowly,
I mean, eventually...
Slowly.
The idea, I think, is that movies represent the actual audiences that are watching them
yeah.
in a way that's not...
Yeah.
...forcing it or... whatchamacallit, like tokenizing these people by just making like stereotypes and whatnot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice if they get there at some point.
You know what would totally make my day? Ooh. So, you know, Zendaya, the girl, she's like a Disney Channel star. She's been cast in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's half Black, half white.
Mm-hmm.
I would love it if they cast her as MJ.
That would be interesting.
That would be so interesting. I would be very curious about that. And I know the same people who hated on Rue being a Black girl in The Hunger Games and the Black Stormtrooper in Star Wars would
yes.
also just flip out completely.
Yes.
But I want that to happen.
In fairness, the point against them in terms of Rue in The Hunger Games and the Black Stormtrooper is that, first of all, in the books, Rue is described as being dark-skinned.
Yeah,
like,
so, I mean,
what
I don't...
What the fuck did you think that meant?
I think those people just don't know how to read.
Yes.
Those
and with
people.
And with the Stormtrooper thing, who said all Stormtroopers need to be white?
This is another thing, okay, right? When fictional, made-up worlds are created, why are they all still white? It's fucking fictional, you know?
Yeah.
The same... Okay, I am a huge, huge, huge Lord of the Rings fan. Huge. Uh-huh. Okay, you know me. I spent the
yeah.
majority of high school...
Yes.
Every Friday night watching behind the scenes footage
yes.
of Lord of the Rings. Okay.
Yes.
This is who I am. It's the reason why I went and studied video production, Lord of the Rings, by the way.
Yeah.
I
did
yeah.
not know that about you.
Really? I'll tell
yeah.
you more about it later. Anyway. So, but it's always bothered me. I'm like, why are they all white? You know, it's a fucking made up world. Like,
yes.
Why do all the elves have to be white? Like,
well,
why do
the
all...
elves are all...
And all the orcs were freaking... They were black, basically.
No, they were, like, green.
What? Oh, no.
Green.
Oh, honey, that's your colorblindness kicking in again. They definitely were not green.
Did you just call me honey?
Yeah, I did.
I hate you.
But...
I hate you.
They weren't green.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there wasn't... It was, like, fictional skin tones.
Okay, fine. Whatever. I'll give you that.
All right. But everyone else is that the elves were very specifically described as being fair-skinned in the books. Mm-hmm. The thing that bothered me is that the hobbits were actually described as being very, very diverse.
They were in the books.
In the books, but very early on. And
they never did
on,
that. They never did that.
Very early on, Tolkien touches on how the hobbits in this part of the Shire were pretty light-skinned, but the hobbits over there were pretty dark-skinned.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they all had bare, hairy feet.
And they just never, they never did that for the movies.
Yep.
Every single hobbit.
They did not.
Was white with brown curly hair.
They, like, they did not.
Or blonde. Yeah. That's really disappointing.
But, I mean, wait, what were we getting at? Oh, yes. Rue is described as being black. And there's nothing in Star Wars saying that underneath the, that white uniform that the people gotta be white too.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, there's just nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing to imply that. So,
so people
go ape shit.
Exactly.
Do what you want. Mm-hmm. All right? I mean, in terms of movie makers. Yeah. Do what you want. Cast whoever you feel is great.
Yeah.
The thing about MJ, though, is that, like, her being a redhead is such a, like...
I would love, though, I mean, I get it. She's a redhead.
Like,
she's supposed to be
like,
white.
It's such a big part of her character, in a sense.
But she could, this girl who they cast could
there's,
be.
There's nothing
could be
stopping.
Redhead and stuff. Yeah, there's nothing stopping them. I would be very curious to see if they would even try something. I have a feeling they won't.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, the same, similar thing happened with Fantastic, with the new, newest Fantastic
Four
movie.
Oh, yeah, when they had Johnny Storm be black.
But the thing is that Johnny Storm is the hothead, all right?
Yeah.
The hothead stunt man person. Like, that's who he is. He's hothead Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
All right? But with Mary Jane Watson, it's MJ the redhead.
Yeah.
Like that, so, like, that's why I have a little bit of... I'm a little bit more pushback against that than I was...
They could do it.
I mean, obviously.
The girl, the actress is half white anyway.
Yes, but the thing is that she's not a redhead.
They could make her a redhead. Kirsten Dunst wasn't exactly a redhead either.
I know, but at least they gave her a wig or whatever.
Yeah, so why do you think they can't do that with Zendaya?
Do you know any black people with red hair?
I'm just saying she could still have technically red hair. It doesn't have to be like the red like you see on.
Yeah, but my Dunst. But my point is that the character is defined as being a red, like that's a part of
ginger.
Her character.
Yeah, being a
it's
ginger.
Like, yeah, like MJ, the redhead. Like, you know what I mean? I mean that's like saying the Flintstones. Why can't he wear pants? It's like. Well, it's the Flintstones. That's who they are. That's what it's defined as.
Such a weird analogy.
I mean, if it's not defined in the nature of the character, be creative, do what you want.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. So I guess that's the only reason for my pushback.
Yeah.
Is
I
that
get it.
If it wasn't MJ the redhead.
But if they were gonna try it, I would be curious and open to it. And another thing, another thing I want to get clear is that a lot of people, like, you know, they're always like, ugh, why are you always going on about race? Why does it matter? Why does all this representation matter?
Yes.
And the thing is...
Why does it matter?
Because it is very... It is detrimental to a kid growing up when you see that the people playing villains are always people that look like you, right?
Yes.
And the people playing heroes are always people who are white. Or blonde, or whatever.
Yes.
And I mean, that is, and it does have an effect on kids, and growing up, it had an effect on me. You know, it always, like, you know, it makes you even just, like, question other people who look like you. Whereas you'll kind of, like, immediately want to be friends. For me, I always became friends with the white kids and over other brown kids and stuff. That always happened to me. That always, I was like, oh, they're not cool, blah, blah, blah. Let me hang out with the white kids only. You know, they seem cool because I've seen them be cool and act cool in all the movies and TV shows I watch.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it makes such a huge difference, and it's exhausting. I'm just tired of it. It's just the same stories over and over and over. How many movies are we going to make about World War II where we only, like, see the main characters are always white? Do you know, I didn't even know this until recently, that For example, on the Soviet side, a lot of the frontline soldiers were mm-hmm. Central Asian. They were from all the places like Kyrgyzstan, whatever, these former Soviet Union countries. Who else would they send to die first? Central Asian soldiers, you know?
Yes.
Before their nice white Russian ones or whatever, you know? And, yes. But see what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm interested in seeing a World War II movie about some, like, those guys.
Yes.
Okay, instead of another one, like, with Matt Damon or Brad Pitt in it, you know? So, that's what I mean.
Saving There's just Private Ryan.
Yeah, which was an excellent movie. I'll give it that.
But you know
what? It's just...
What we want to see is a movie called Saving Private Sanjay Patel.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, so... Brown people were there in World War II as well, mm-hmm. fighting on the side of the Allies.
Of course. Exactly.
Because India was a British colony.
Yeah, exactly. Who else do you think they sent to the front lines to die first?
Yep.
So.
Or Saving Private... Yamato Kawasaki.
Yeah, that didn't
work. There was a whole division of
it took you too long to come up with that name.
I know, it did. It was slow. I was trying...
I slipped.
That was my bad. That was my bad. But the point being, even though there were... all the Japanese in America were sent to internment camps, many of them volunteered to fight for America
mm-hmm.
During World War II, and so there was an entire... battalion squad division of Japanese Americans who fought with great bravery.
Yep.
We'll put that in the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. Just to prove to you that it happened, people.
Yeah, in case you don't.
Shit fucking matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Facts matter.
Facts matter.
Despite what our election cycle is showing us these days.
I really don't... you know, facts should matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that they do.
No, I'm not sure. Wait, also another reason why representation matters is recently, I showed you this article, mm-hmm. there is like a militia forming of men in Texas who are preparing for a possible uprising of Muslims in the country.
Yeah.
They have target practice and they make sure to douse their bullets with pig's blood. Or just put parts of pigs in them
yes.
so that when they, quote, shoot Muslims, they will immediately go to hell.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being a Muslim, that's news to me. I did not know that that's how that system worked.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah, I did not know that that was a way for me to go to hell. Yeah, that's news to me.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Surprise! Another reason, right, that we need more of these stories so that these people don't see that.
Yeah, if for no other reason than just... familiarize being with the general population being familiar with the rest of the general population.
Mm-hmm. I would like to have conversations with people in Texas where I'm not feared.
Yeah.
That would be great. That'd be super.
Yeah, that would be nice. Which is scary because we have a lot of family in Texas.
Yeah.
Texas has a lot of immigrants, people.
Yeah.
And they're not all from Mexico.
Exactly.
I.e., the wall is not going to do much good against an airplane.
It's really not.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So many problems with that, guys. Okay. Getting off topic.
Yes.
Getting off topic. Let's get back on. X-Men Apocalypse. Why?
I was going to ask, are we done, though?
I think we actually covered everything.
I think we covered everything, yeah.
Yeah. All right, okay. Everyone.
Great.
Thanks for joining us for the fourth episode of Grounded Geeks. Glad you're still here.
Aw, yes.
Yeah, catch us next time for episode 5, which will be something totally spectacular and relevant and enriching to your world.
Super
as
relevant.
All of our conversations are.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Original music by Angry Neighbors. Check out more of their stuff at www.soundcloud.com/angry-neighbors.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. You can follow us on Twitter at Grounded Geeks and... follow us on Tumblr, groundedgeeks.tumblr.com. And we'll soon be switching where we put our show notes from Tumblr onto Medium. So hopefully that'll be easier to track down. And that also is search for us at Grounded Geeks. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Goodbye.